Hey, welcome to Friday. What a great show for you. Lots of laughs and a little bit of spirited debate going on, especially the beginning of the podcast. We have Steven Crowder on with us, and we're talking about how voices are being silenced in America. Then Bill O'Reilly comes in. He's on fire today. And in the last part of the podcast, we have decided to kind of play the reverse draft, if you will, the NFL draft, except we're looking, the last person to be picked is the person that we think we'd most like to face, I guess, if it was a president.
It's a bad group of candidates, but we went and tried to pick the team of the worst possible crappy candidates in the Democratic field. They're all so close,
yes.
But we attempted to do that today as well.
Yeah, so all on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Stu, you want to start with PowerPointer, or you want to start with Facebook?
I think we got to start with Facebook.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, Facebook decided to do another new round of purging yesterday, in which they...
What was that word again?
Purging?
Purge. I thought that the was Purge. A good... Really scary movie. Purges in the Soviet Union? Kind of scary. Usually ends up with a bullet in your head. Now, I know that's a joke on this show, because everything ends up with a bullet in your head, but we're starting to get to the point to where you can almost hear the guns being loaded.
Well, the bullet has been put in the head of several people's businesses. Mm-hmm. I think you can say that. And I think and it's certainly muffled their voices in a really significant way. And some of these people are, I don't know, some of my least favorite people on the planet.
Yes.
People like Alex Jones, and also people like Louis Farrakhan, who were both banned.
Now, I don't know about you, Stu, but, you know, I'm 50-something years old. I stopped counting. I've lived with Louis Farrakhan saying crazy, hateful things my whole life, and I'm fine. I don't like Louis Farrakhan. I think the man is a dangerous guy, but I've never in my life thought, boy, you know what we should do? Shut him up.
Oh, one of the things, I think that one of the best things that we can do is hear what he's saying.
Yes.
I want to know what Louis Farrakhan is telling people in his congregations. Mm-hmm. I want to know, because it's certainly helpful for us.
Yeah, does it help to silence Louis Farrakhan so you don't know what he's saying to thousands of people? Is it best to just to be completely oblivious to that, or should we see what he's saying, and more importantly lately, who exactly in Washington is in his audience?
I will say, however, this move is likely at least partially the fault of conservatives if you think it's a bad move. And I have no love for Louis Farrakhan at all. But the approach here from conservatives largely has been, when they go after someone who's supposedly on the right, and some of these people are and some of them aren't, but you go after someone on the right, and instead of saying, like, wait a minute, this is wrong, you shouldn't be banning anybody, and then next time there's a controversy with someone on the left, we have said, look, I don't want people on the left thrown off of these platforms either. Many people on the right, or, you know, Republicans, conservatives, nationalists, whatever you think, many people on the on that side of the aisle have said, well, why haven't you banned Louis Farrakhan then? And we've even said it
and
before.
I've said it, but I don't want anyone banned.
Right.
I'm saying, wait, if this one's so bad, this one is really bad, and you're not banning.
So what I think Facebook is doing here is, look, we're getting rid of these people.
Of course.
And they're saying, well, what's the typical talking point we hear every time we ban one of these guys? Well, why don't you ban Louis Farrakhan? So they did.
I got news for you.
Does that feel good, though? Is that a win for us?
I got news for you, Democrats. You better listen. You average neighbor Democrat, the one who is just going on their own business, and you're just thinking, well, they don't really mean they want to get rid of the free market system. No, they won't really do that. And, you know, people like, well, Breitbart, they're dangerous.
Yeah.
I got news for you. You are going to be had next. Because if you don't think that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all of those other Democrats, that you might go, well, they're a little crazy or a little old or whatever, but, you know, they're the ones really running the show. No, they're not. No, they're not. You have opened up Pandora's box, and now the people who are actually running the show. I mean, look at Ocasio-Cortez. She was nobody. She was a nobody 18 months ago. She now has the clout to be able to threaten the people in Congress on the Democratic side. If you don't vote with us, we are going to send our troops into your district, and we're targeting you. They are terrified of the left. And I'm sorry, but it is those people. It is those people that have the ear of Facebook. It is Media Matters. It is the Southern Poverty Law Center. They are in collusion. We have the documents. Did you know that Media Matters? And if you're on the left, I'm sorry, not on the left. If you're a Democrat, you need to look into Media Matters. You need to see who these people really are. They're not just some, well, it's just somebody who's just trying to keep things fair. No, really?
No, of course not.
It's not what's happening. And these people are the ones who are inside now saying who gets to speak and who doesn't. And I'm telling you, if you start, we are very close for it being too late for the Democrats to stand up and say, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. You guys are a little too crazy here. You're in bed with CARE. You're in bed with Islamists. No, 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 no. We're not doing that. It's the hour is growing late for Democrats, and they will target you. You. This is the old poem. First they came for the trade unionist, and I said nothing because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the capitalist, and I wasn't a capitalist, so I didn't say anything. You better speak up now, because this one is, first they came for Alex Jones, and I thought he was horrible, and so, you know, I didn't say anything. I'm going to give you the next one. Next, Poynter Institute, which I'll talk to you about in a second. Next, they came for the Washington Examiner. And I didn't say anything because I didn't even know what the Washington Examiner was. The next one is, then they came for the regular Democrat. And I wasn't a regular Democrat, so I didn't say anything. You're toast. You are toast. These guys are truly the kind of people that lead us to Venezuela. Stop lying to yourself. That's who these people are.
And we should also look at ourselves here, because we need a little examination in the mirror of how we handle these things. Because when the left comes up with this with a crappy standard like this, hey, we're going to fire people for things that they say, even when they're dumb, we're going to get rid of them, we're going to ban them from all these platforms, we have a choice to make: either to argue for a better standard or to argue that their crappy standard should be applied more broadly. And we constantly argue that side of it. Hey, you know the crappy thing that's hurting us? We should make it hurt the left too. And what does that do? It just codifies that standard. And now that standard can be applied more broadly. So it happens, this thing that we think is unjust happens to more people.
Here's what's going to happen. I can tell you right now, here's what's going to happen. They're going to start talking about some sort of a public utility. They're going to say, you know what? The internet is really a public utility. I mean, Facebook, Google, it's so big, it's a public utility. Mark Zuckerberg is begging for this. Now, why would they beg for this? Because it's corporate socialism. They're going to get into bed with the United States government. And do you think that's going to work out well? When the government has access to the information and data systems of Facebook and Google, do you see what we're building here?
Scary. And you know, even scarier than this, because, you know, look, it was people from InfoWars. It was people. It was Louis Farrakhan. Another one was Paul Nehlen, who is, you know, to me, an awful, awful guy who ran for Congress and has said all sorts of anti-Semitic things, among others. But can you constitutionally even ban a candidate who's running for office? I know we've done this a million times. We play these things every single campaign cycle. Some legit KKK member will run for Congress, and radio stations are forced to play their ads. Well, they're saying horrible things, the worst things you can imagine, but they can't do anything about it because of campaign finance laws. They're going to ban people who are actually potentially running for office?
This new decision from Facebook, if you get on Facebook and you defend the people who have been banned, you say, Laura Loomer is great. What has Laura Loomer done? What has the Washington Examiner done?
And this isn't you saying these things. This is if you go online and say these things.
Thank you, because it'll be taken by Media Matters and taken out of context, and then we'll be banned. But if you say that on Facebook, you can now be banned.
Here's the quote. In some instances, when Facebook bans an individual or organization, it also restricts others from expressing praise or support for them on its platforms.
So they disappear. This is insane. This is what they did to the Jews. If somebody just disappeared, if your neighbor who was Jewish just disappeared, do not ask where they went. Don't ask. That was the law. Don't ask. Because if you really want to know, you'll find out. You'll be on the next train. This is how it started.
Who was the person that came up was initially talking about digital ghettoization? Do you remember who that was?
Yeah, it was, I want to say Edwin Black.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
And that's
it.
I mean, obviously there's massive differences here, but listen, I mean, the same process
it's digital.
Being applied to speech.
Yeah, it's
right?
digital. Yeah. It's not physical
right.
yet.
Yep.
But it is digital.
Well, it wasn't physical at the beginning in Germany either.
No, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. First you just couldn't have
a business. Remember that?
You couldn't have a car. Mm-hmm. You couldn't have your own radio. I mean, you would lose your phone rights. Hello? Is anybody paying attention?
Again, you don't necessarily get to the end of a road when you start walking down it. But if what is at the end of the road is something you don't like, don't take steps.
Don't start walking down that road.
Don't start walking down that road.
All right. Let me tell you about our sponsor. It's FilterBy. Spring is here. Pollen is in the air.
Is too.
Yeah.
And that just comes. It doesn't have to be spring.
Did you see AOC? What she said yesterday about she was talking about we had somebody from the fossil fuels industry come in and testify that fossil fuels can be good and healthy. Oh, my gosh. No, you're kidding me. What do you think is holding all of those little cold tablets into the capsule, you idiot? That is a fossil fuel. Petrochemicals. What do you think Vaseline is? Do you have any idea when they give you a shot with a syringe, what do you think the little plunger thing is made out of?
Yeah.
Fossil fuels.
Yeah, here's the thing. Well, here's a nice thing. God. Let me give you a little graph to work on at home, little boys and girls. Chart on the graph, number one, life expectancy. Number two, global population. And number three, CO2 emissions. See how close those lines are. What you're going to find is they're almost identical. When one goes up, the others are going up.
When one goes down because you've banned it, the others go down.
Yeah. When we have global recession is the only time the other line goes down.
You know, I banned myself. I'm really struggling hard not to call people morons. I said, I don't want to call people morons, so I have to just get it out of my system right now. And I'm not going to say it about anybody in particular, but there's a lot of freaking morons out there right now. And I'm losing my mind because we're not waking up. Where's your bottom, America? Where's your bottom?
I think you're still in the middle of a commercial, by the way.
I am.
So I'm going to point that out.
Oh, yeah. It's FilterBy. Maybe there should be some filters on this program today. Anyway.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hi, it's Glenn. If you're a subscriber to the podcast, can you do us a favor and rate us on iTunes? If you're not a subscriber, become one today and listen on your own time. You can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks. Well, another right-wing extremist, you know, the kind of right-wing extremist like Louis Farrakhan is. Right-wing extremist Steven Crowder is joining us now, a guy who is in jeopardy of losing his over 4 million followers on YouTube, quite honestly, a company he helped build by promoting it and being on it. Now they are saying that, well, he's violating all kinds of rules, and he now has three strikes against him. Stephen, give me the update. What's happening with you and YouTube?
Well, first, you know, I've seen better days. I last week I went on a couple's cruise, and next thing you know, I'm getting my feet and levels checked and being told about Xenu, and I have measles. So, warning
oh
to everyone
gosh.
Out there. Yeah, make sure you get it right before you know. The timeshare sale there isn't exactly what's built. No, I do. I hate to correct you there. We don't have three strikes on YouTube, so I don't want to get super nerdy on this, but we were going to have three hard strikes on my YouTube channel, which, like you said, is close to 4 million subscribers. And with my lawyer, we kind of negotiated that down to one hard strike. You know, here's the thing. A lot of these are false copyright claims. This happens because there are big corporations that abuse the system and YouTube doesn't really follow the law. And not just conservatives deal with that, of course. But when you add that up, the cumulative effect of everything being demonetized, of other videos also being either removed or deemed a violation of services, we really do have to deal with it on all fronts. And it's a constantly changing rule game. That's the issue here with places like YouTube. And, you know, I've gone out and met with the executives at YouTube. So has my lawyer. We've sat down and said, okay, what are the rules? This is your platform. That's fine. Do you want conservative voices? They kept saying, yes, 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 we do. We said, okay, how do we need to create content to make sure that that we're not afoul of any of these rules? And we followed all of them. And now they've changed. So to give you an idea, Glenn, this is a little bit nerdy, but this is how it used to work. You used to get hit with a copyright claim on YouTube, okay? And then you would file a counterclaim.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who were hitting you with a copyright claim had 10 days to file suit. That's the legal process. In other words, they say, hey, we think this is copyright. You say, no, it's not. And then they say, okay, we're going to sue you or not. Now, we've never lost a case. Shia LaBeouf, the Bob Ross estate, I think the Carpenters.
Bob Ross's estate.
Bob Ross.
Oh, that was a great episode too, Stephen. Classic. That was a great episode.
That's a classic.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Naturally, we kind of expected to get in some hot
water. Or dead. One of the two.
Right,
but
yeah.
Yes.
Once you paint Muhammad as Bob Ross in a parody of the BuzzFeed article, you've kind of decided your line of work.
Yes.
You can hear the sound of the door slamming behind you.
Yes.
This last one, we did a parody of Kiss's Dr. Love, and we did Dr. Trump, and we created the track from the ground up. So in other words, we have the project file. We can show this isn't a karaoke track. We created a track. It's clearly parody. We went through the effort of making a music video. And this video was run in three different videos in the form of a clip, one clip or another. So boom, it was going to be three strikes. And we said, well, hold on a second. We'll just remove it here from the other places. We'll keep it up and we'll file a counterclaim. And YouTube said, well, that's not how it works now. We've changed the rules. You're going to get hit with a hard strike. But if you take the hard strike, then you can file your counterclaim, and they'll have 10 days to file suit against you
and
sue you. So,
do they remove the hard strike?
Well, this is how it used to be. It used to be before the hard strike.
Right.
So we said, okay, we'll incur the risk. We'll let our channel get a hard strike, because if you get three, your channel's gone. It's gone for good, baby. So we said, okay, we'll take one hard strike here. We'll file the counterclaim, and then they can sue us, put their money where their mouth is. Instead, we allowed the hard strike, we filed the counterclaim, and then YouTube just rejected the counterclaim. This has never happened before. It is the duty, the onus is on them to sue us
yes.
to prove that we're guilty.
Stephen, I
rejected it without reason.
Stephen, what would you say about Stu? What's the guy who does the parody songs that you've always loved for, Eat It? What's his name?
Weird Al Yankovic. I'm a nerd.
What you just did is what Weird Al always has done.
Right.
So what is the difference?
Well, that's where, you suspect foul play because we're a conservative. And I don't think it's completely ill-founded when you look at the fact that they just, Facebook and Instagram just banned Alex Jones, Milo, Paul Joseph Watson, and as you said, far right Louis Farrakhan.
Oh, wait. You have to hear from I have to give you this. You're head will explode. This is actually what The Washington Post responded, "It's perilous to force strict left-right labels and framing onto political extremists, but even an elementary understanding of Farrakhan's beliefs place him on the American political right."
What?
Yeah.
People assume the opposite because he and his followers are black. Oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my mind.
No, I think Farrakhan assumes the opposite because he says, "Nah, it's the opposite. Also, I hate Jews." I think that's why. And someone's gonna quote me saying I hate Jews. No, literally, Farrakhan has said that Jews are the devil. Okay, and here's the thing. Just to give you an idea, I disagree with Farrakhan and everything he stands for. I would never dream of trying to get him banned. I want him out there so that I can fight
so
his
do I.
better ideas.
I despise Louis Farrakhan. I despise him. But he has been a part of my life. My whole life, he's been saying crazy things since I think before I was born, and we've all seemed to survive it. We cannot begin to ban speech, period.
Right. Well, they've already begun to ban speech, and the thing is, you know, I don't want to say this to sound like it's boastful, but we're far and away the number one conservative YouTube channel that's ever existed. Ever.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm very grateful for it. And the issue is, you know, listen, if we're going to be banned from YouTube, and I don't know that we will, there is no one left. It just means they don't want conservative voices. I mean, we host people of all different kinds of opinions, of all different walks of life, for crying out loud. This is the channel that does Change My Mind, which is literally 45 minutes to an hour of completely unedited, long-form civil discussions with kids on college campuses. And now we're doing segments where we actually just moderate college students conversing with each other and rationalizing their positions. And of course, all those videos are demonetized. We've accepted that for a long time. But here's my question. This is the ultimate question. We're going to fight this legally. People can follow me and, of course, join up at the Blaze TV and support us. But if Change My Mind, which is a segment that we do that, again, is 1 hour, no profanity, unedited, completely contextual of people conversing in a civil dialogue, if that is demonetized, if that is considered a violation of YouTube's policies, can someone please tell me how can conservatives be on the platform? How? What would be acceptable? If not that, what? And no one has given me an answer. I don't know how much more productive it could possibly be. At a certain point, they just have to say, "Now, listen, we don't want any conservatives on the platform." But they're not, and that's the dishonest business practice. If today YouTube said, "All right, we're getting rid of anyone who's right of center," we'd be having a different conversation. And I'd say, okay, at least they're being honest about it. They're not. And, you know, I have to have lawyers. I have one great half-Asian lawyer. I don't have a fleet of lawyers like most media entities do. But we really we have to fight this stuff legally on a daily basis. It becomes a part of the conservative business model. If you just want to take part on social media, you have to have legal consultants. It's ridiculous.
Steven Crowder, thank you so much. Thanks for everything that you do. Thanks for leading the way, and being brave enough to do the stuff that you do. In some ways, you're borderline nuts for doing it, because it's a great risk to you personally. And to you professionally, and I admire you for that, and I'm glad to work by your side, even in the background, just cheering you on from the cheap seats. But thank you so much, Steve.
Well, thank you very much, and everybody there, please get your measles vaccination before you go on a cruise. I learned the hard way.
Thanks a lot, Stephen. I appreciate it.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
O'Reilly, Facebook began another round of purges yesterday. How long before they get to you and me?
You know, I don't know much about that world. We use it on BillO'Reilly.com.
And the Facebook machine?
Yeah, I mean, you get the stuff out.
Right.
Because that is a powerful way to do it. Mm-hmm. I haven't had any trouble with them. I mean, we use them and we're fairly responsible. However, There are First Amendment protections for organizations that deal with news and public affairs. So,
well, the Poynter Institute yesterday came out and issued a list.
Yeah, I saw that. You were on that list.
Yeah, I'm on
but
that.
That's not. See, the Poynter Institute is really a piffle. A piffle. They're not important.
Is that a word of the day, or are you going to save it for another
piffle,
one?
Yeah, piffle. Piffle is a word of the day. With a P. But Facebook is. All right, so the Poynter Institute.
Well, the Poynter Institute, but the no. Poynter Institute.
This and Bill O'Reilly's that, and it doesn't matter.
No, Poynter Institute is respected by the left and people like Facebook, and they use things like the Poynter Institute to be able to change their algorithm and say, no, well, we've discussed this with experts. We're just going with the best experts that are out there that are saying these are, you know, unreliable. I mean, that's how Apple decides who goes in their Apple News.
Argument. What I'm trying to say is that if you have an organization that is being harmed by another organization, and you can prove your freedom of speech constitutional rights are being violated, that other organization is in trouble.
Well, so let me ask you this. YouTube right now is going after people because of copyright laws. Now, you and I know, I appreciate copyright laws. My stuff has been taken, and I have to have attorneys that are watching over our copyright laws.
Sure.
However, there is something called fair use. Now, if you take a whole show of mine and you put it on a platform and you're getting money for it, then that's a problem. However, fair right. use is something that we all know about. Facebook and YouTube now are going after conservatives by claiming fair use, by claiming copyright laws. And we had a team of attorneys in this week because last week we were flagged like 50 different times for fair use issues. And we're like, wait, this is what you do. You show somebody on MSNBC talking, saying something stupid, and then you comment on it. That's fair use.
Who drove that action against you?
YouTube. MSNBC.
All right. So MSNBC didn't like the fact that you were using clips of their shows.
Yes, and it's not just them. It's not just them, but they were one of the main culprits.
All right. But there is a fairly well-defined fair use doctrine.
Yes, but YouTube.
YouTube. The FCC.
Right, but YouTube is not covered by the FCC.
That, you don't have a problem.
FCC is not. It does not cover YouTube. YouTube says, you know, they have their own rules.
No, but I'm not talking about YouTube. I'm talking about you. You're the Blaze. So you guys don't have any downside. Now, if you want then to say to YouTube, hey, the federal government is fine with what we're doing. Can you explain further why you're giving us a hard time? That puts YouTube in jeopardy.
I remember when I was young and naive.
I think you need to hire me back. I need to come in and take over the whole operation.
I don't know. Okay, so let me go to this. We'll do one more thing on social media. Barack Obama now hired by Netflix to do history programming.
Yes. Well, Barack Obama is a production company, and I don't begrudge him that.
No. Nope.
He can do whatever he wants to do in that area. So he's going to make Barack Obama history stuff, mm-hmm. and Netflix thinks that enough people will watch it to make it profitable. Mm-hmm. I don't have a beef with any of that, as long as we know what the production is and who's behind it.
You know, it's really strange, though. You know, it's really strange is what? I've gone to Netflix with history. No, they're not interested in history. I bet Bill O'Reilly and Glenn Beck could both walk in and say,
look, if I brought something to Netflix, the odds are that I wouldn't. I got four movies made from the Killing Books. OK,
yes.
But the movies that I got made were made by companies friendly.
Correct.
To 21st Century Fox.
Correct.
If I had taken my movies to Spielberg or to Katzenberg or to Disney, I would have got no.
Right.
Because
Here's what you're failing to recognize, I think, Bill, and that is the times are changing, and it is, the kids are not watching television. They're just not watching it. They're watching everything on YouTube.
I get that. I know.
Yeah, everything is on YouTube, Netflix, Amazon. If we are boxed out of Netflix, YouTube, Amazon, there's no way to communicate to the next generation.
There's going to have to be another company that comes in to do programming, just like Fox News came on the scene to challenge the liberal media 23 years ago. That's what's going to happen. You're not going to change the culture or force private companies to be fair.
Okay, so
that's not going to happen. So another production company is going to have to rise up.
This is theory now, Bill, and I know you don't engage in theory, but I would like to hear your response to my theory. I believe that, Zuckerberg is calling for more regulation on him. What company ever calls for more regulation? You know what I'd like? You know what we need around here? We need more government inspectors. We need more government regulation. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. He's calling for more regulation. And I think with the moves that are making, you're going to see even the conservatives say, you know, these platforms, they're utilities. It's like the phone. It's a utility. We should regulate those things. I think that the government getting involved and regulating things like Google and Facebook is coming, and it is going to be really, really bad, because the socialists in these corporations and the socialists in our government are going to love to have that much control, power, and information.
Well, it's not going to happen under the Trump administration. They won't do it. But if there is a liberal president next time around or in 6 years, then what you're saying is probably going to happen. But there is a lot of money, and I mean big, serious money, on the right in this country. And there's no reason why they can't start to form companies that compete against Zuckerberg and the others, because they would make money. There's a huge audience, as Fox News has proven, that want to see programming that isn't skewed left. And, you know, when it comes right down to it, we don't want government pinheads telling creative people what to do. We don't. But we have to really understand that the entertainment industry, and that encompasses books and movies, is 80% left-wing, and they hire based on their ideology, not on skill or creativity.
And they're only getting worse.
So other private companies have to come up.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
So then, should we just go around? How do you want to pick? Random piece of paper.
Andrew, that's your, or Sarah, that's over there. We're picking now random, because I guess Glenn is just taking
the
first
pick. No, I'll take a random number.
You want to take the
random number? Yeah, if you're going to do a random number, I just want you to know. Now it's not scientific. For the love of Pete.
There you go. All right. Let's see. Who we have?
I got number one.
Okay, so there we go. Glenn gets number one anyway.
I haven't even opened it.
Who's got two?
Oh, I did get number one.
Oh, you did?
I really did. Okay.
I've got
joking.
Two.
Sarah Gonzalez, host of News and
Why It Matters.
We know
it's rigged already. What? It's rigged. This thing is rigged.
It's God, rigged system. God telling us.
All right, Sarah Gonzalez, News and Why It Matters gets the number two pick. Who has three?
I've got three.
Andrew Heaton, host of Something's Off with Andrew Heaton, who should learn to talk into the microphone. He's going to be a broadcaster.
I've got three.
All right, he's got number three. And
I have number four.
Pat Gray Unleashed gets the number four pick in
our
draft.
So let me just explain this to Andrew, because he'll understand it this way. Imagine that all of the names that are running for president here, you're going to issue them a red shirt, because a team has to beam down to the planet.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So the last person that's picked gets either a blue shirt or a yellow shirt, and they're the only one coming back.
Gold shirt, but okay.
Yeah, gold shirt. Okay.
All right, Glenn.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we're going
now,
for
but
the...
But now I don't understand it.
Yeah, right. So the last person picked would be the consensus that...
That's the best candidate.
The best candidate that we wouldn't want.
Yeah, the least offensive.
Least offensive.
We're going to back into that. So I think the one thing to remember here is we are trying to pick the worst president. If you, no matter what your definition of how that would work, if this person became president, you'd think they'd be the worst possibility for the presidency of the United States.
I gotta
States
go.
Out of this
I
field.
Mean, boy, I've got. I mean, I got the whole slate.
You do,
so, but I'm gonna go because I just couldn't take it if it was Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren with I would say this is a surprise number one overall pick.
I mean, I could
here.
Have gone to Bernie Sanders, but Elizabeth Warren would just grate on me after a while.
That would be agonizing.
Yeah.
So Elizabeth Warren goes first overall in the worst possible president draft. We go to Sarah Gonzalez. News and why it matters, Sarah.
I would say Gillibrand because I can't handle the social media videos.
Okay.
She'd just be 4 years of working out videos and the beer pong with water. That's unacceptable.
That is absolutely unacceptable.
What about the democracy dollars? The latest, her latest is democracy dollars.
What the hell are democracy dollars?
She's giving away democracy dollars to her voters. So that they can donate to everyone, so that they can donate to her campaign.
Yeah.
What is that?
So that she can get 65,000 donors so that she can make the debate stage.
Oh my gosh. Well, she's giving away Shroot Bucks.
Yes.
Right from Shroot Farms.
Yes.
Oh yes. God. But mostly playing beer pong with water is just disqualifying.
Right. That
number,
is
number three.
So I would say first two picks off the board.
Surprising.
Big surprise picks.
Yes. I thought for sure Bernie Sanders would go number one or at least number two.
I did too. Mm-hmm. We go to Andrew Heaton. Something's off with Andrew Heaton.
I'm gonna get Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders.
That is
good
my
one.
You yeah. like Bernie Sanders. What do you mean? That's not fair.
My nightmare is to have to choose between Trump and Bernie Sanders. I want to get him out real quick. So that I don't have to make that decision.
Right. I will say that's a huge value pick at number three overall. I'm impressed by that by Andrew Heaton.
Yeah.
Getting Sanders at three is something I did not see
coming.
That's
a bargain.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bargain.
Right. Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed goes number four.
Oh, wow. still some pretty good ones to choose from.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Cory Booker.
Oh, no, damn it. Corey. That was my number two pick.
Yeah.
That was my number two.
He is a
nightmare. If I would have had Elizabeth Warren and Cory Booker on the same team, there's no way you beat me for obnoxious.
Now, I will say, I have two picks in a row here, a snake draft format.
Wait, and you have two.
That's how a snake draft works here, yes? That's how we do it?
Wait, you didn't say we were doing a snake draft.
Explain that to me in Star Trek terminology.
Okay, so it's like say Captain Kirk had the last pick of the first round. He gets the first pick of the second round so that we all even it out.
Like in episode 14.
Is, okay. Yes, exactly. Like episode 14.
Now, and then we go back around this.
This
way.
Is like, now this, it's is, now, this is okay. like next generation. So I say, Q, I'm telling you, you're playing games. That's what's happening here.
There's a lot of Star Trek references going on that I don't understand.
Too many. Okay.
I will not play your charade anymore.
So I am now at the point where I've got two picks in a row, a lot of good ones on the field, and still on the board. I'm going to go with my first pick, Bob Frank O'Rourke.
Oh, come on.
I just could not take Mr. Hand Gesture, sweaty, climbing on counters like he's feline. Mm-hmm. Could not take it if Bob Frank O'Rourke was on our TV any more than he already is. And with my next pick...
This is not right.
It starts to get a little bit difficult here. I'm going to go with... I will go with Eric Swalwell. Ah. Eric Swalwell is just... Now, no, you might not know who he is. He's currently polling at 0%. But he's a guy that goes on MSNBC, says the most outrageous things he can to get attention. He's basically running on getting rid of the Second Amendment right now. He's an irritating attention hog. And I would say both of my picks went down that road of O'Rourke and Swalwell. So Swalwell goes number six as the worst possible president out of this crappy field. Next up, Pat Gray.
Wow. I think I'm going to go with John Hickenlooper.
Really?
Yeah.
Hickenlooper.
Yeah.
We got to take these off we go because I don't know who's up left. Anymore.
Hickenlooper is a climate change nightmare. Mm. Hickenlooper is all about climate this, climate that, Green New Deal. He is a true believer. In algorism.
He is. He's
You're triggering
he's
Andrew. Awful.
You are triggering Andrew a little bit.
I like the moderates.
but I will say, Andrew has his chance to take another one off the board right now with the, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8th overall pick here in the crappy candidate draft.
Well, I left New York about 6 months ago, and I would be horrified if Bill de Blasio became my president after I escaped.
Yes.
So I'm going to pick. Am I allowed to?
See,
is that fair
he's
game?
Still on the fence. He's not
yet.
In the race. So de Blasio.
No, those are on the fence. You can't pull from on the fence.
That would have been a good pick, though, I will say. A very good pick.
All right. In that case, I'm going to go with Julian Castro.
All right. Well, look at Castro.
Man, now, you guys are taking all of my picks.
Now, Castro is an interesting one because you could get two for one there. There is a twin involved. So are you taking both twins off the board here?
Can I do that, or do I have to use my third place? Yeah, I'll take both Castros.
Okay. So Castro times two goes eighth overall to Andrew Heaton of Something's Off with Andrew Heaton. Now, the news and why it matters, Sarah Gonzalez with the ninth pick.
I'm going to go Kamala because I think she is going to be viewed as a moderate, but we all know that she's not anymore, and I think she could be dangerous. I mean, anytime you get a woman running for president, you have to question their
intentions. It's always
the
women who say this.
Yeah.
It's only women who say they don't want women presidents. I want that to be known to the nation.
So I'm going to go for Joe Biden because I think there's a chance he just is drooling on himself within the first 18 months. And then it's like whoever he picks, you know, when you're voting for Joe Biden, you're really voting for vice president.
Wait, what?
Are you saying you're going to kill Joe Biden?
No, don't even joke about that. No, I'm saying, have you heard his speeches lately where he's like, slipping. So I think he may be drooling within the first 18 months. Well, he might be.
All right, we are now in the third round. Glenn Beck's second straight pick here in our snake format draft that everyone understands except for everyone other than me. Here we go.
You get
another one here.
I'm gonna go for Pete Buttigieg because I don't trust anybody who everyone says you're supposed to hate Chick-fil-A on your side and you don't.
Well, I think it could be good,
but it could also be a massive mask.
Yeah, I also
he's at night going, oh, you hate Chick-fil-A. When I'm president, there's no chickens left.
He keeps saying in speeches too, look, running for president when, coming from being a mayor of South Bend, I mean, it's beyond bold.
Don't say that about yourself. Yeah. It's so irritating.
And I just don't want the 4 years of the first lady, first man. Uh-huh. What do we call it?
Oh gosh.
First gentleman.
All right. So we have gone now through 11 picks here in our disastrous Democrat draft. And next up is Sarah Gonzalez of the News and Why It Matters.
I'm going to go with Wayne Messam.
Wayne Messam.
Something tells me he doesn't have the experience required. Okay.
Now, he is the mayor of Miramar, Florida.
That is true. Wait, you said Miramar.
Miramar, Florida.
Well, that does not change anything.
Okay. So, yeah, Wayne Messam, that's a good one. Because we've been picking on kind of the annoying policy stuff. Picking someone who probably is not qualified.
I mean, Amy Klobuchar is still on the board.
She is. And Andrew Heaton has an opportunity to take someone off the board now. Andrew, Democratic, disastrous draft.
Who is Seth Moulton?
That's a great question, and many people who are voting are asking the same.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to do a wild card and go with Seth Moulton.
Okay.
All right.
Seth Moulton,
all right.
Democratic representative.
You're going to leave Marianne Williamson on the board.
Who is Marianne Williamson?
Okay.
Oh, Marianne Williamson. Jeez, that's an Oprah guru. Yes. She'd be fantastic.
Oh, wait, hold on. Is that the psychic from Florida?
No.
I don't know if she's from Florida, but she's a new age.
She's not a psychic, but she's new age.
Sarah wants her to be president.
Oh, she would be a scream.
Can I change mine? Can I do it?
You cannot. That is not how drafts work. Sorry. You do have another pick coming up, however, but not before Pat Gray has his third round selection.
Okay.
Who is the worst Democrat left on the board, Pat?
I think I'm going to... I'm torn between Andrew Yang, who wants to eliminate circumcision, and Jay Inslee, who I think I just confused Jim Hickenlooper for.
John Hickenlooper.
See, I even mixed up the name. I think I'm going to go Andrew Yang.
Andrew Yang off the board. There we go.
I kind of like Andrew Yang. I mean, except for the whole circumcision is
some weird stuff going on.
He did say on the Shapiro thing that it was just a personal choice. He didn't want to ban it.
And Ben accepted that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people who are like, I don't know why I've ever talked to those people. In fact, I think I never talk to them again because it's just like, why are we talking about this? Right. Let's move on with our lives.
Yes.
But anyway. Yeah.
My heart started to flutter there as I thought Pat might take an important pick out of my draft. With my third round pick, I am absolutely going with Jay Inslee. Inslee is a huge climate guy. It's really running a one-issue campaign on the climate. Yep. He has just been the first state to legalize human composting. That happened over the last 24 hours. Human composting is now in play, which is interesting. But I will will say he also blamed the flooding in Iowa on Donald Trump, which I thought was a nice touch. So I'll go Jay Inslee there. Yeah. And I got to say, because I am terrified of Sarah Gonzalez allowing Oprah and Kim Kardashian's guru to be president of the United States.
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
I am absolutely taking Marianne Williamson off the board.
Oh, man.
I do not. No, I don't. There, we already have too many Kardashians in the White House. I don't want more showing up. Marianne Williamson off the board with my fourth round pick. Pat Gray is up next.
Crushed my dreams.
Okay, we're going to do that here in a second. First, we're close to finding the next president of the United States. And one that I think no one will know. Coming up in just a second.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.